Father, we come as a people that know that we, Lord, need you every hour of the day. Father, the things that come upon us, Lord, they can so easily make us fear. And Lord, please help us to remember that you are the one that we can run to for help in those times of need. And Lord, I pray that as we consider your word and consider you today, you will help us to grow in the understanding of that you are a God that is worthy to run to. And that, Father, that we would comprehend just that little bit more how great you truly are and the security and the rest that that brings. And so, Father, we pray for your work to be done through your word and through your preacher in the hearts and minds of each one that is here this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last Sunday, I looked at how prophecy reveals to us how God is all-powerful. And we saw the blessing that comes from knowing that that God is our Heavenly Father. We have a Heavenly Father that is all-powerful. And that brings a lot of rest, or should bring a lot of rest to our soul. But that's not the only thing that we see about God from prophecy. There are a number of other things that we see about him as well. And this morning I want to look at another two things that I mentioned at the very beginning of this series when looking at prophecy. Two other things that we see that prophecy reveals to us what God is like, and how these two things also should bring comfort and help to our everyday life. And so it's not just looking at what God is like, but how does that help me today and tomorrow and for the rest of my life? And the first thing that I want us to consider this morning is how prophecy reveals to us that God is eternal. We have an eternal God. And we can quickly say, yep, I understand that. But have you ever considered what it means to have an eternal Heavenly Father for your everyday life? You know, God has told us that he's eternal, and so that should be enough to believe it. Over in Psalm, this is not where I want you to turn, but in Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, and ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And so the Word of God says, before the mountains were brought forth, before the earth was created, from everlasting, that's everlasting backwards, to everlasting, that's everlasting forward, thou art God. He is God of all. And so we see how God is eternal in that concept that he's from everlasting to everlasting, he reigns. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." And so we see here that God is eternal. He has no beginning, he has no ending. He inhabits that eternal realm that is very hard for us to understand. And we saw last week in Isaiah 46:10 how God describes himself as the one who declares the end from the beginning. And so at the very beginning, he will declare to us what will happen in the end. God can declare what's going to happen. He can declare prophecy after prophecy and be sure that every single one is going to come to pass exactly as he said they would. And the ability to be able to do this isn't just because he is sovereign and he can make it happen. It is also because he is eternal and he knows the future because he is in the future. Fulfilled prophecy shows us that he must be eternal. And God's ability to declare things in eternity past, as well as the things of eternity future, shows us that he dwells and exists in both realms, the past and the future. He's eternal. And if you're anything like me, I can sort of grasp the concept that God is going to last forever, all right? But trying to comprehend the concept that God has no beginning really messes with my brain, all right? I went to bed last night again trying thinking about this, and it still just confused me just as much. How you go back and back and back and back, and there's no start to God. He's always been there. That messes with my mind, I'm here to tell you. You know, I think a lot of the trouble that we have in understanding no beginning and eternity is because we are created beings. That's all that we're used to. You know, we are creatures who are ruled and governed by time. And so that's all we can understand. You know, yesterday is yesterday because time has passed. But what if there was no time? Would yesterday still be yesterday, or would it just be a big now? You're like, you know, this is when you start to, the mind starts to spin up a little bit. And you're going to have to get a pastor that is a lot wiser than me if you want eternity explained in a way that you're going to understand it. Because I find it very difficult to explain things I myself don't understand. But what I do know is God in His Word has told us that He's eternal. And I, even in my limited understanding of what eternal is, I just accept that. He has no beginning, He has no end, He's not limited by or restricted by time. He dwells in eternity. And as we saw all those fulfilled prophecies and the understanding that He is telling us about other things that are yet to come, reveal to us that yes, we have a God that must be eternal. And knowing that our Heavenly Father is eternal should bring a lot of comfort to us in our everyday life. And that's what I want to focus on more. Not trying to understand what eternal means, but the understanding that we have a Heavenly Father that is eternal and the comfort that that should bring us in our everyday life. You know, one comfort is because God is not bound by time and He inhabits eternity, that means that I can be sure that whatever happens in this world and whatever happens in my life is no surprise to God. You know, nothing sneaks up on God. Have you ever thought of that? Nothing takes Him by surprise where, whoa, what's happening here? Nothing takes Him by surprise. Wherefore, myself, I'm not eternal. And I don't know the future. I don't dwell in eternity. And so a lot of things take me by surprise. Whoa, I didn't expect that to happen today. You know, and you're the same. A lot of things take you by surprise. You know, you might go to work tomorrow and get told that you've just been put off. And unless you just punched up the boss on Friday, I'm sure most of you would think, I didn't see that coming. Big surprise, something that you're not aware of at this moment. You know, that pain, that little pain that you've been feeling in your body, you might end up having to go to the doctor and him tell you that it's a very serious illness. And I guarantee you, if you get told that, you're going to go out in a daze and feel shocked of the news that you just heard. That happens to us in life. You might go home today and find out that your house has been robbed. I'm sure you're not going to think, well, I was expecting that. No. You know, you may be travelling home today and your car will break down. Just stop on the side of the road. And unless you drive a Ford, you wouldn't expect that to happen. Right? Wouldn't be a surprise for me. I'm sort of waiting for the time. But normally, that'd be a shock. You know, and the list could go on where things that are around the corner, we are oblivious to what's going to happen. You know, Proverbs 27, chapter 27, verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And so even God tells us that we have to live in this life with the understanding that we don't know what's going to happen next. God says that. That's how you have to live. You can have all these plans and worked out what you're going to be, but you cannot say with any security or assuredly you are definitely going to do that because you don't know what's going to happen today and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God says that's how you have to live. Some ways that's good to know how to a good way to live, but in other ways, it's a hard way to live. And that's the way that we have to live. That's because we're restricted by time, brethren. We're not eternal. But the blessing is that we have a heavenly Father who knows from the very beginning what's going to happen at the end. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Nothing sneaks up on Him. Not one thing that happens in this world, not one thing that happens in our life comes upon us and God says, "Whoa, I didn't see that coming." Never. Now, the problems that you have today, God has already known about for a long time. The problems that you may have tomorrow, He has known about forever. Nothing sneaks up on Him. And that's a blessing. Now, how should knowing that we have an eternal God where nothing sneaks up on Him with, how should that help us? Well, turn over to... Oh, sorry, I told you to go to the wrong spot. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Here we're given an idea of how it should help us. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 33, the Lord... What the Lord does is He reveals something about Himself. And so He gives His credentials. And He gives His credentials so that we will believe what He says about Himself and act upon it. You know, we do that all the time. You know, for example, if you go to a doctor and you go into their surgery, they have all their degrees up on the wall, don't they? You know, list after list. Sometimes I wonder if they just make up a few as well. They have so many, all right? They don't tuck them under the table where no one sees. They want you to see all those degrees. Now, why do they do that? They want you to see their credentials. I've studied hard, I've learned a lot of things, and so when I tell you something, you can trust me that it's right. That's basically what they're trying to convince you of. And so that means when Dr. Bob says to you, yes, that freckle, that's nothing, you know, you don't have to worry about that. That's just a normal freckle. There's nothing nasty there. You believe him. Why? Look at all those credentials. Like, this guy has been studying for years. He must be like an expert on freckles. And so if he says it's okay, it must be okay. And so you go out and say, "Oh, that freckle, it's all right. The doctor said it's okay." You rest in his knowledge. True? And he may not even be right. But you feel relaxed all of a sudden because the doctor says it's okay. While on the other hand, if Dr. Bob says, "Oh, that freckle looks very nasty, I want you to get that, I'm going to remove that straight away because I'm very worried about that," you're going to think, "Whoa, Dr. Bob thinks that with all those freckle expertise and knowledge, and so I'm going to do what he says." You're going to act upon his knowledge straight away. You're not going to say, "Oh, that's ridiculous. I don't think you even know what you're talking about." No, you're going to listen to him. And so we do it all through life. We give our credentials. Why? So people will believe us. And that's what the Lord does here. He is giving his credentials to the children of Israel. And he says to them in chapter 33 and verse 27 this, "The eternal God." This is what he says about himself. This is his credential. One of his credentials. "I am the eternal God." And what does he say? "The eternal God is thy refuge," he says. "And underneath are the everlasting arms." And then he goes on to say some things pertinent for Israel. But here we see that God gives the credential that he is eternal. And then he says to his people, "Because I am eternal, I can be your refuge. And I can wrap those everlasting arms around you when those things in life prop up that take you by surprise. But understand, they're not a surprise for me. I'm the eternal God. I know this day was coming. I know these things were coming. And I've been preparing for that. You can trust in me." You know, that's what the eternal God says. And so that means if you go to work tomorrow and you get told that you've just been put off, it may be a surprise to you, but you can be sure it was not a surprise to the eternal, your eternal Heavenly Father. And when you go through something like that, your response should be, "Lord, I know you knew this was going to happen. And Father, I run to you, and Lord, I want to know how you want me to respond in this circumstance. I need you now. You run to him. If you find out that that pain is more than just a little pain, but it's something serious. You have your house robbed. Something terrible happens to you. You go to your eternal God, understanding that was not a shock to him. He's not running around in heaven, throwing his arms up, wondering what to do here, didn't see it coming. He knew it. And he's ready to help. We're not to act in the flesh and react in a sinful way. Sadly, when terrible things happen, people go to sinful measures to find comfort in some sort of substance abuse or some sort of immorality or whatever it may be, but they seek sinful things for their comfort. No, we go to the one, the eternal God, who is our refuge, whose everlasting arms are there to hold us during this time. That's the comfort that should come when you have a clear understanding that you have an eternal God. That's the first thing. But you know, also from prophecy, we have revealed to us that God is all-knowing. And although God being eternal and all-knowing, that they do sort of link in. They are two different things, really. I'm guessing you can be eternal and not know everything. But the blessing is we have an eternal God who is all-knowing. He doesn't just exist in eternity, he knows everything. You know, we have a wonderful picture of that in Psalm 139, if you'd like to turn there. Here, this is the psalmist David, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He sings a song of praise to his heavenly Father. And what does he say in verse 1? Deliver me, O Lord, from... Oh, that's not it. Verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Here, David understands that God knows what he's been doing when he's sitting up and when he's standing down, sitting down and standing up and so on. He knows everything about him. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God even knew his thoughts. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything David was doing, and he knows everything that we're doing. For there is not a word in my mouth or in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word that we speak, God knows about. Every word that we think about saying, God knows about. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. David understood that the knowledge that God has of himself and of everyone is far superior to him. And then he shows us how superior it is. It says in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Let me have a look at it. Verse 5. At the end it says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Oh, I've lost it. It says there somewhere that is infinite. Oh, I got another verse. 147, sorry. Let's go over there. Psalm 147. My little cut and paste confused me. It says there in Psalm 147, verse 5, great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That's the verse I was looking for. His understanding is infinite. I didn't know where the verse was. He knows. Just showed you. But can you consider that? His understanding is infinite. You don't come to the end of his knowledge. That's an amazing concept. You know, Ezekiel 11:5, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. He says that I know what comes into your mind, not just what we do, but those thoughts in our head, he knows every one of them. And when it comes to knowing things before time, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, it says. And so God in His foreknowledge knew who would believe Him and receive that Holy Spirit and be sanctified. And God, on the basis of His foreknowledge, elected those ones to be His special people. God has foreknowledge. You can't have that unless you know everything. If you just know what's happened in the past and what's happening now, you don't know everything. You just know a real lot. He knows everything in the future as well. And when we look at prophecy and the Word of God, we have this confirmed. He doesn't just know the past and the present, He knows the future. He knows what people have done, and He knows what people are going to do. And you know, knowing that we have a all-knowing God should bring us a lot of comfort. You know, it means a few things. If you ever thought that because God's all-knowing, He doesn't learn anything? He doesn't learn anything. If you know everything, you don't learn anything, do you? For us, we got to go to school. We have to go to university to learn about a certain field or college or TAFE or whatever it may be. We have to get that knowledge and restore that knowledge in our brain. We don't come pre-programmed like some computers and so forth. It would be nice. God just puts all knowledge, and so when we grow up, we just got it all. That's not how it happens. We have to get it into our brain. Yet God's different. He knows it all. He doesn't have to learn anything. Yet how often do we try and set the Lord straight on certain things? You know, where we think, Lord, I don't think you know what you're doing here. Can I give you some advice on how to rule the universe? Because I think you're sort of making a bit of a mess of it, you know. Isn't it true? Or when it comes to our life, Lord, can I give you a bit of advice on how to rule me? Because I don't think you're doing a very good job here. Could you imagine how that must feel as the all-knowing God when you see some little pea brain compared to Him try to give you advice? But how often do you do that? God, I think you're making a mistake. Tell the all-knowing God that. And another thing about God being all-knowing is God doesn't need a few goes to get things right. He gets it right every time because He knows what's best. You know, for those who've had children, when that first one comes along, you really don't know what you're doing, do you? Like, you might pretend you do, so people don't think you're going to come take your child off you, but you get home, you think, whoa. You know, when it comes to feeding and sleeping and while they're screaming, why are they screaming? I don't know why they're screaming. You don't really know a lot of things. And hopefully on that first one, you learn some things and you retain it. So once the second one comes along, you know a little bit more and you grow in your knowledge of how to be a parent, hopefully. God doesn't do that. You know, when Adam and Eve came along, God didn't say, well, I'm going to sort of test out a few things here because I'm just not sure how to be the God of all the universe and the God of mankind. And so after a few centuries, He gets it right. That doesn't happen with God. He knew exactly what to do. That's the benefit of being all-knowing. You know, He doesn't have to get to know you before He knows what's best for you also. He knows you intimately. You know, being all-knowing also means that He doesn't have to work things out. You know, someone comes to me and says, you know, Pastor, what do you think about this? You know, generally I don't know the answer. And I say, well, that's a good question. I'll think about that. That means I don't know, you know, and I have to try and work it out. Sometimes I don't know the answer. God never does that. He gets all the information. He knows all the information. He doesn't act on wrong information. He knows it all. And what that does is that can bring security to us that God doesn't get things wrong. We can trust His guidance and advice. And so that means that we can go to His Word, and if there is an answer in God's Word, we can trust that this is the very best thing that we can do. In fact, God tells us that's what we should be doing. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine what? Own understanding. And so that means when the Word of God says one thing and our heart and mind says, no, I think this is a better way, who do we trust? Do we trust us, who sort of know a bit? Or do we trust the all-knowing God? You know, to see what God says about something and then laugh it off and say, I don't think that's the best way for me, I'm going to do this instead, is ridiculous. It's saying, I think I know more than the all-knowing God. You know, children do that to their parents. They want to do something and you as a parent say, look, I think that's a very bad idea. I think this is the best way. Generally, we get it right as parents because we have more experience. But if the truth be revealed, we don't always get it right, do we? I'm discovering that as your children get older. Sometimes they get it right and you're the one wrong. And you've got to admit you're wrong at those times. But that doesn't come to pass with God. If we look at God's Word, says that, and we say, God, I think you're wrong here. I think this is a better way. We don't get down the track, and then God has to say, you're right there. You were right, and I'm wrong. That never happens, because He is the all-knowing God. And brethren, that can bring a lot of comfort. Because when we humble ourselves in the sight of God and understand He is the sovereign God of all the universe, the all-knowing one, and we understand we don't know all the answers, what that means is you can say, boy, I know I'm not real smart and I don't know what to do, but praise the Lord, I have a Heavenly Father that does know everything. And He tells me that I ought to tell the truth. And so that's what I should do. That's the best thing. Or He tells me that I should forgive. Or He tells me that I should confess my sin. Or He tells me that I should obey my parents. Or I should submit to that authority. Whatever it may be. But we can go to Him and find out what He says and do it knowing that is the very best thing we can do. Because He is all-knowing. You know, that takes a lot of the pressure off this life. There are a lot of things that come into our life. A lot of pressure. What do I do? It's wonderful when you know you have an all-knowing God and He has given us His Word. And even when His Word doesn't give us any direct answers, you know, we are told, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. We can go and say, Lord, I can't find an exact answer in Your Word, but I do want to do what You want. Lord, I hand this over to You. Please direct my paths. And we can trust that the all-knowing God will know what He's doing, even though we won't. And that's the providence of God. We can look back and see how God, when we put our life in His hands, just worked things out right for us. That's a blessing. You know, when Robert was about 2 to 4, you know, when he had a problem, he would come to me because he thought I knew everything, all right? So he thought I was not all-knowing, but he certainly thought I knew a lot. And I did, I knew a lot more than what he did. And so when he had a problem, he would come to me and I would help him with it. And so I'd come over here, Rob, I'll show you. See, I know this is a tricky puzzle, but, you know, these three-year-olds can be. But see how it's got the shape of an elephant, all right? See that? See that? Yeah. See how it fits in this little shape here? And I showed him how to solve his problem. And I tell you, I am amazing at solving those three-year-old puzzles, all right? That's... I don't have any trouble generally with it. And so to him, I was a genius because my knowledge was far greater than his. The only problem is, as he's got older, his problems have got harder and greater knowledge is needed if I want to be that same expert in helping him. And as he's got older, I've sort of discovered when it comes to his schoolwork and things that his required knowledge has outgrown my knowledge as well inside. And so when it comes to a mathematics problem, he doesn't bother to come to me anymore because I'll probably give him the wrong answer, all right? And so his trust of me in knowing getting the answer from me has diminished with certain things. You see, his problems have got bigger than my knowledge. In fact, a lot of times I go to him now when I got a problem with my mobile phone and I don't know how to do it, or computer. I say, Rob, can you come and help me? I'm not sure what to do here. And he gets in, beep, 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 beep. Oh, thanks, mate. You know, his knowledge has grown greater than mine in some areas, not all areas. And that's what happens. Sometimes your knowledge or your problems outgrow the knowledge of your earthly father. But the blessing is that never happens with our heavenly father. You know, our problems never get too big for God. Isn't that a blessing? Never does he say, this is beyond my knowledge. He knows what's best. He always is worthy of our trust. I get a few answers wrong with my children, but thankfully they still trust me most of the time. But God doesn't get the answers wrong. We never get smarter than him. Where, Lord, I don't need you now. I've surpassed you. I'm right by myself. That brings a lot of comfort. To know that there is a God that can help us, to give us wise instruction, to give us wise counsel, to give us guidance in this world when there are a lot of unknowns. That should bring a lot of comfort. But the question must be asked, do you think you know what's best for you, or do you think God knows what's best for you? Who do you think knows what's best? Do you think you know what's best for you in your limited knowledge? And so even though God may say that, I'm still going to do this because I know what's best. Or do you believe that an all-knowing, eternal God knows what's best? It's easy to know. Do you say, Lord, I will obey you no matter what? Do you say, Lord, I'll do things your way even if it doesn't make sense to me? Do you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with my life and with eternity? You know, when you know your Heavenly Father is eternal and all-knowing, and you believe it, it can bring a lot of comfort to your soul. And that's what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Father, God the Father in heaven. And let's rest in that understanding as we close today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for revealing to us who you are. And I pray that we will grow in the knowledge of this. And Lord, we will enjoy the comfort that comes because of it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.